Well, welcome everybody. You're listening and watching the Life Enthusiast Co-op online Google Hangout Network and also our online radio network for those of you that are joining us via the podcast feeds. So I'm your co-host, Scott Patton. Martin, the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, is with us as usual. Welcome, Martin. How are you doing today?
Hi, Scott. This is Martin indeed. Oh, this is Martin's face on screen now. Hello, everyone. Doing good. Thank you. We're ready to roll. Today's theme, as announced, is the weight loss secrets. It has more to do with the biological individuality and the specific body types, but we'll get into that pretty quick.
Cool. Yeah, we're going to be talking about what people can do about getting to their ideal weight. We're going to be looking at whether or not it's not having enough exercise or what it is we're putting into our body, or maybe it could be something else.
Right. So maybe I should just turn on my presentation mode and tell the world.
Who are you, Martin?
Here goes. This is my top. This is my top slide. Weight loss secrets. Well, the who am I? Okay, there. You should be seeing a picture of Martin.
We do.
In his winter coat, in cold air. I look like I've been weathered.
Yes, you do.
Anyway, just to say the basic introduction, Martin Pitella, currently working as a health coach, formerly trained as clinical hypnotherapist and as metabolic typing advisor. And before that, university educated as systems analyst, business analyst, computer science, and so on. Worked many years as trainer, lecturer, and professional in the information technology. On the other hand,
here I am, and I've been your podcasting online radio co-host for the last 6 years with the Life Enthusiast Co-op online radio network. We've had we've had over 280 episodes, so there's just a total wealth of information there if you want to learn about any of the topics that, in more depth than what we're talking about in our Google Hangouts. And I'm a writer, and of course I can't have spent 6 years with Martin and not know a little bit about the field of health. But I tend to spend most of my time writing and building websites, building iPhone apps, all those sort of good things. So we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming for you in that area. So we're going to be talking about weight loss secrets. And, you know, so what are some of the things that regulate weight, Martin?
Well, let's see here. Let me just go into the slides that I prepared. Look at that. What regulates weight? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. And the main thing that regulates it is your biological individuality. I will soon be showing you some pictures of different body types to help you understand that not all of us need to behave the same way to be our ideal weight. There are some people who are built for speed, some that are built for endurance, some that are built for strength. And it's not the same thing.
So when, like, as you were talking, I was just thinking of, you know, the professional or Olympic bodybuilder who's just, you know, massive, you know, and then I was thinking of actually Lance Armstrong, who is the cyclist, and how, you know, slender he is, lean he is. And just thinking of the differences between those two types of, I guess you could call them elite athletes, but very, very different body types. And of course, one is built for speed, which would be the, you know, the biker, and the other one built for strength, the body lifter. And we recognize them as being very, very different body shapes, but I've never really thought of it in terms of different metabolic typing.
Well, it's not in this particular conversation. I want to talk more about the dominant gland. Actually, let me just switch to that just to finish. And we will talk about cravings and inches and all of that. We'll get into that. But check this out. Is it the food or is it the exercise? And I'm here to tell you it's not the exercise. There's no way you can exercise yourself into slim.
That's kind of shocking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody tells, well, I shouldn't discount it completely. Exercise is important for health. It is important from the perspective of us needing to exercise to maintain circulation, to prevent stagnation, to keep muscle tone and overall health. But as far as being fat or not fat, it has much more to do with nutrition than it has to do with exercise.
It's interesting you say that, because anyone that's followed us for any length of time knows that I like hot yoga, and I go quite regularly to hot yoga. And one of the instructors is stout. Okay, he was a drummer in a rock and roll band, and he looks like he wouldn't be out of place on a Harley. Just to give you an idea of not only the stoutness, but also he's bald, and bald because he wants to be, and all those sort of good things. And somebody asked him after the class, like, you know, if I just go to hot yoga and like I go like twice a day or I go every day, you know, will I be able to drop a lot of pounds? And he said, well, he didn't really want to say, no, you can't, because obviously he wants them to come to hot yoga. But what he did say was, you really need to take a hard look at your diet and what you're eating. He said, I thought that when I started doing hot yoga to the degree that I am, which was a lot, that I would just, you know, slim right down. He said that didn't happen. And he says, you really have to look at the type of foods that you're eating and your nutrition if you really want to, you know, drop the inches. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, correct. And that's exactly what I put on the slide.
Mm-hmm.
And starting from the bottom, you have to make the best of it, because you cannot fight it, because it's based on the genetics. And based on the genetics, every body type has its preferences. And the preference is forced onto you by the glandular dominance. And there are four major glands that will push themselves through. And this information was put forward probably about 40 years ago by Elliot Bravanel. And it's published in his wonderful book, Body Type Diet and Lifetime Nutritional Plan. And I stuck this picture of this lovely girl on the screen just as a teaser, because I want everybody to be guessing which glandular type she is. If you get it, great. At the end, I will reveal it. But anyway, she is one of the four major types.
And you're going to tell us what the four types are.
Oh, yes. We'll get to
it. Everybody is one of these four types?
Yes.
And so I couldn't be like part of one type and part of another type?
You could be a cross. Yeah, yes.
You can't be a cross. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
you
not
can
like
a cross between two.
Yeah, it's not like this strict border where you're either on this side or you're not. You could, if there's gray areas here.
Definitely. Well, they're not gray. They're mixes of the two. Like you can be between one and the other. Yes, it's not black and white. If it was black and white, there would be just simply four body types and that's it. By the way, men usually only have three.
Okay, so one is predominantly, there's one glandular type that's predominantly female.
Yes. But anyway, so look at these headings from Bravanel's book, just to read them. The unique body type program will explain how you lose weight, achieve body shape that's ideal for you.
Yeah, I think that's key, because oftentimes we try to be a body shape that isn't us, right?
Yes. Target the trouble spots. Each type has its specific weaknesses and specific strengths.
Are you talking about the hips and the tummy and the derriere?
Well, that's particular to two of the four, yes.
Okay.
And then finally, how to boost your energy, have lots of it as opposed to not. How to deal with food cravings, because they are specifically related to the glandular dominance. And then, of course, how do you feel better than before?
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. It's the metabolic typing that we have been promoting to the world. That's like an umbrella. It's like the big building inside of which the body type and the glandular dominance is one of the floors. And it's in metabolic typing, it's the type of calories that we ingest that dictate how the energy is burnt in the body.
Okay.
And the major types of calories come either from carbohydrates, from fats, or from proteins. And what's interesting is what they're made of. Carbohydrates is made from the atoms of carbon and hydrogen. That's why they have their name, carbohydrate, carbons, right, and hydrogen. Fats, you add one more molecule into the mix, the O for oxygen. And in proteins...
Oxygen?
Oxygen. Mm-hmm. And then if you have carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, then... you're dealing with a protein. And what's interesting is that depending on the body type, you either need high glycemic index foods because your energy production isn't very effective, or the opposite, you need low glycemic index foods because the energy generation system is highly efficient.
So with the high glycemic index foods, those would tend to be like sugars and the carbohydrates, right?
Right. So these are the people that should be living in tropical or warm weather climates. They should be eating a lot of fruits, veggies, and grains. So they're very happy on a bowl of rice and some vegetables, or on fruit for breakfast. And they are that very happy as vegans or vegetarians.
Okay.
The other ones, those are suited much better for life in colder climates. So they are needing to be eating things that are rich in protein. Typically, they were adapted to the life of the hunter or the life of the fisherman. And so they are definitely dependent on higher fat and higher protein in their diet. And
very cool.
Okay.
That's a good explanation of it, Martin.
Mm-hmm. And then there is the glandular dominance. You may have a glandular dominance that is in conflict with your metabolic type. Like you can be the low efficiency burner, which means that you need carbs, but you can be gland dominant that requires high protein, which is trouble. So let me show you. There are four glands that are possible: thyroid, adrenal, pituitary, and the gonads. And the thyroid, here's the thyroid type. The thyroid dominance is typically the fishing tribes. They are adapted to life on the coast of oceans and seas. They make they made their lifestyle based on birds, their eggs and their meat, and on fish and seaweed and some amount of vegetables, but not a whole lot. And their figure tends to be tall. I'll get to it. I'll explain it. But anyway, so here's a typical picture of a woman that's a thyroid type, and you can see that she's quite tall. And you can see that if she gains weight, it's primarily in her belly. She actually starts looking like she's pregnant, and she's putting weight on her thighs.
Right.
So that's that. Now here is, the people that are listening to it only, they don't get to see this fun picture, but this is a picture of a volleyball team. That's the kind of people that, I should say that the thyroid types are best at athletically. They make great volleyball players, basketball players, or anything that requires skinny and tall people.
Right. And a little bit of running.
Yeah, running is good. They're good at running, but they're tall. So they're not great at distance running.
Right.
And here is the picture of a typical thyroid type males. They are tall. They tend to be tall. And when they start gaining weight, they gain it on their belly. And it looks like, well, a beer belly is a classic thyroid dominance problem.
Hmm.
So here's what happens to a thyroid type person. Their cravings typically are for sweets, for breads and desserts. So if you think of yourself, how am I? If I gain weight, do I gain it mainly on the belly and on the tush? If I have any cravings, is it mainly
sweets as opposed to salty things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you have pasta, bread, and desserts, you put it on. If you take them out of your diet, it drops off.
Right. So if you want to be skinny, you need to eat proteins and fats and oils. And typically, the thyroid body type does best when they eat three meals of about equal size. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, they are about the same. Some people are much better suited to eating very little at breakfast and very heavy at supper. Others, the opposite. They would be very heavy at breakfast. Did I say it that way?
No, well, yeah, you're right. They're very heavy at breakfast, very light at the end of the day. Yet when I read in the magazines, I hear people saying, well, you should never eat after 7 o'clock and you should...
Yeah, that's an excellent diet for the pituitary. Heavy breakfasts, hardly any dinner.
Hmm.
If you're at adrenal, that's slow suicide.
Right. So part of the way we can tell is if we're in tune with ourselves and we're like, because I remember once when we talked about my metabolic type and you said, oh, yeah, like you just like you should eat a steak. Right. And I was over visiting my parents and my mom did this pot roast and it was just to die for eating this meat, right? And you said, yeah, that's because that's the type of metabolic type you are, Scott. And I thought, well, so if there's something that we really like and when we eat it, we're noticing that we're not like ballooning. And of course, it wasn't about we can get into quantity. I didn't need to eat a lot of this particular dinner to feel full and satisfied. I just, you know, I had a couple mouthfuls and I could have stopped, you know, because it was just like, oh, I'm, you know, I feel really good and that was delicious and I'm satisfied, right? So it wasn't, you know, having four helpings of something because I just loved it so much I couldn't stop eating. It was interesting, right? Because it was just like, oh yeah, I really like this. This was good. And really liked it. So it gave me permission to really enjoy my food because I was thinking before, like, oh, I should cut out the red meats, you should cut out this, cut out that, and wasn't working.
Yeah, I would say that you are living under the fallacy of everybody should be like me, says the nutritionist. And so if you run into a nutritionist who's who's the wrong type, the opposite to you, he gives you the advice that's great for him but terrible for you.
That's right. That's right.
And so what do you do with that? Well, let me just restart.
You live a life of misery, I'll tell you.
Yeah, very unsatisfactory life. But anyway, so let's just return to the thyroid type people. So you will probably know yourself best that you're a thyroid type is if you put your weight on your belly and that you crave sweet things in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
me. As opposed to, yeah, you're the thyroid type. We know that. But what's interesting is that you're thyroid type with the metabolic type of parasympathetic. And so right. For you need to eat red meats and fats as a parasympathetic to feel right. And you need to eat proteins and oils as a thyroid. You had me on the screen just a moment ago. I'm also a thyroid body type, but I'm a sympathetic. So for me, for me to feel right, I need to be eating high carb food because I'm the inefficient fuel burner. And so I actually need to eat carbs. But when I eat carbs in the evening, I put on weight. I have to remember that I must eat protein meals in the evening. Otherwise, I'll put on the weight.
Right. Okay.
Cool. So it's complicated, but it can be managed. You know,
right.
I know how to navigate it. I can get any one person the right diet based on their makeup. But it's the combination of knowing your metabolic type, which is what's going to get you feel energetic and healthy and good. But I can also combine it with the body type, glandular dominance, which is going to regulate whether you get fat or skinny. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about weight loss or weight management.
Mm-hmm. So what's one of the other adrenals?
Well, we'll get to that. Just one sec. I need to finish this thyroid type people just so that, you know, if you're taking notes, take notes now. The sweets are sweets, bread, desserts. That's the cravings. To lose weight, three meals of equal size every day. Focus on the lighter proteins like eggs, fish, poultry. And definitely stay away from stimulants. Your thyroid's a fairly fragile organ, and it does really badly in the presence of coffee, tea, chocolate.
So when you say tea, are you including herbal teas in that?
No, just the caffeine.
The Earl Grey teas?
Yep. Yes, sir.
So in other words, stay away from caffeine.
Stay away from stimulants.
Coca-Cola?
Yes, sir. No go.
Okay.
No alcohol, no sodas, no cereals, no fruit. If you want to be slim. Now, if you want to gain weight, do the exact opposite. So, okay, let's try this other one. So this one is the adrenal dominant. This is what a female body looks like for the T-types. They're built very stocky. Like recently I was watching the show Dancing with the Stars, and I was thinking, okay, who looks more like the thyroid type or the adrenal type? And I'm thinking, okay, like the Brooke Burke, you know, the announcer that's in there, she's definitely a thyroid type. But they have this ex-Olympic gymnast. Like in this year, they have Ali Reisman. Last year, they had Sean Johnson. Those are definitely I don't have a picture of Sean Johnson. Too bad. I thought I had one, but I didn't come up with it. Well, anyway, you can Google Sean Johnson and see, or Tina Turner, or you know, those people who have a deep chest are quite stocky, strong legs, strong limbs, and not very distinct waistline.
Okay.
So that's
you can see a big difference between the lady when you're looking at her, the black and white one straight on, and the thyroid dominant lady. You could really see, you know, there's a big curve in her, and not so much in this one.
Right. Yeah. You know, all the models like Victoria's Secret models, those types, they all are thyroid types. You never see any other body type in that. I don't know why the society is so exclusive, but that is the, yeah, like they always pick a thyroid type.
They like the curves.
Well, it's, well, never mind. Okay, so that's that. And here's an A-type male.
Yeah.
Built like a...
yes, we know how that ends.
Like a brick house.
Yes.
And when he puts on weight... it's all over, like big belly, big shoulders, big back, you know, like just gigantic. And that's what happens with football players. They eat like they're still working out, and within 2 years, they become just gigantic.
Huge, yeah. It's a problem for them.
Yeah, it is. So now here's what the typical A-type person craves. Salty and fatty and meaty meals. So if your favorite food is cheese after dinner, or if you would like to have steak and sausage or savory things, that's your ticket here. So if you want to gain weight, go with red meat, fried food, and salty food. If you want to lose weight, you need to stimulate the other two glands. That would be the thyroid and the pituitary. Pituitary is stimulated by creamy like yogurt. And you need to essentially go for salads. So the sad thing is for the steak-eating strong man, if he wants to slim down, he is the perfect model to go vegan. To lose weight.
Right.
And interestingly, they can eat sugary things like desserts, no problem. Stimulants, yeah, you can handle it. Even alcohol, you can handle. And their typical diet should be light breakfast, light lunch, and big dinner. Not like you.
Not like not, me, no.
Not like me either. But those are the types, and you see them, and they do best by just not eating in the morning. And the vegetable that does really well for them is parsley. So a tabbouleh salad, that's something that's made with parsley, cucumber, tomato, and either bulgur or quinoa. That's the most slimming food you can find. So let's take a look at the third type. That one's called pituitary. Pituitary dominant. In boys, it's I'm going to show you an example of a typical pituitary male. There's this famous actor. Do you remember him?
No.
I fished out his face because I knew, oh yeah, that's him. But I can't think of his name.
Is it? That's not Seth Rogen.
It is. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Seth Rogen. R-O-G-E-N.
Yes.
And he is a classic P-type. And so you can see it on him. If he stays slim, he makes an excellent long-distance runner.
And he's slim everywhere.
Yeah.
And when he's fat, he's fat, like his face everywhere. Gets bigger. And
yeah. Yeah, he's fat everywhere. And the girls, typically, you know, they even skinny pituitary ones are like a doll, you know. They are their head is kind of larger, and they look very cute and very sweet. But when they gain weight, it's all over.
Like the arms and the legs and the waist and the
pudgy,
face.
Pudgy everywhere.
Yeah.
And so here's the food issues. The P-type person craves creamy, dairy, ice cream, because that is the food that stimulates the pituitary. It's, interestingly enough, that's the intellect food. It's the food that a teacher or a student or a mind worker, or is it called mind worker? Knowledge worker, would want to use. Because when you have something difficult to deal with, you want to stimulate your pituitary, and the best food to do it with is dairy, like yogurt.
Wow.
So unfortunately, of course, that's the food that overstimulates your pituitary, so if you want to slim down, you must eliminate it. And the funniest thing is you need to stimulate your adrenal. And to stimulate your adrenal, that means red meat, steak, liver, high purine foods, asparagus, cauliflower. But, you know, it's the most meat-oriented diet. That's what slims these people down. So high protein, lots of salad, lots of fish, lots of seaweed. That will stimulate the thyroid. Spicy food to these people is slimming. What they must reduce is refined carbs, sugar, alcohol. They need to get up early, eat a big breakfast with meat, light lunch, and even lighter dinner. That's how you get skinny if you're a pituitary type.
I'm seeing a bit of a pattern here, Martin, and so tell me if I'm right. the four different types, we've only gone through three so far, but the four different types all have something that they crave. And if they want to lose weight, they have to not eat what it is that they crave.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And the correction is in eating that which they should eat earlier in the day. So, for instance, for the thyroid type who craves the sweets, he or she needs to eat protein in the morning.
Okay, so the P type here, they crave creamy dairy.
They crave creamy dairy ice cream.
So let's say, so in the morning they should have yogurt on their cereal?
No. They should eat steak and liver.
Oh, I see.
They are even more extreme. Like the thyroid type needs to eat eggs and fish and poultry. These people, the P type, they need to go straight for steak, like red meat.
Wow, the vegetarians are not going to like listening to this.
Well, if you are adrenal type, you're ideally suited to be a vegetarian because those are the foods that keep you skinny.
Right.
So
but that's only one of the four, right?
What do you do?
Right.
Are you going to fight the genetics? Are you going to fight the, this is predetermined. What do you want? Do you want to support some intellectual concept, or do you want to be healthy?
Okay. I want to be
healthy. I'm saying this. Salads and raw food is good for everybody. Cooked food, fried food, dead food, the five white death foods, that's not good for anyone. So just to say it again, full on, no sugar, no refined flour, no refined oil, no refined salt, no artificial stimulants. That's just wrong for everybody. Fried food, that's bad news for everyone.
But for some people, they're going to need meat, or they need to find some way of getting that protein.
Yeah, well, high
the vegetables.
Yeah, high purine is really hard to come by. Like asparagus and cauliflower are the two highest purine foods. I don't know how much of it you can eat in one day, in 1 week.
Well, and I guess the answer to the other part of it is, if you're vegetarian or whatever your diet is, if you're not looking vibrant and healthy, then you're eating probably a lot of things that you shouldn't be, or not eating a lot of things that you should be.
Yes, I would say.
Because I know, because when I'm listening to you, I'm always flash back to when I was in my, I think it was 19, and I went over and visited a friend of mine, and her mom was a super health freak vegetarian, like extremist in the 1970s, okay, would not be considered an extremist today at all, which sort of fit in with her group. But she was very unhealthy. Just looking at her, you could see that she wasn't healthy. She was always kind of sick and everything else, but she was a vegetarian. And, listening to you, I understand now that she was, she needed her red meat, or she needed something, and she wasn't getting it. So I don't know that she was a P type, there are a lot of people that try to eat a certain diet without recognizing that maybe that's not the proper diet for them.
Well, what I would say about that is that I'll give you an analogy. Because we're omnivores, we can be in either of the three camps. And I'll give you three major animals: a wolf, a bear, and an elk.
Okay.
And a wolf needs to eat primarily the high red meat protein purine. A bear can do either. He does eat pretty much everything.
Graze and, whatever comes along.
Yeah, he'll graze on dandelions in the spring, and if he catches a gopher, he'll kill it and eat it too.
Yeah, or salmon.
Sure, yes. And then you have the elk, who doesn't do much of meat at all.
Yeah, I can't imagine an elk eating anything. It's not a plant.
Right. So anyway, that the whole point is this. that we need to understand that we have genetic preferences. In our previous podcast, we talked about how this came about, which it has to do with essentially an adaptation to the locality, to the terrain. Like if you lived on a seashore, you quickly adapted to the food that was there. If you didn't thrive on the food that's available in your local terrain, local environment, you probably didn't even make it to reproductive age.
Right.
So quickly that the people who were not adapted for this terrain got eliminated.
And that's so a great way of looking at it too.
Yeah. So you have somebody in Switzerland, he better be good at living on aged cheese and rye bread.
Right.
Or if you have somebody north of 60 in Tuktoyaktuk, he better be good at seal meat and whale blubber.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be no papaya.
I was just going to say, no pineapple there.
No. And opposite of that, you know, if you're some Bedouin or Tuareg living in the Saharan region of Africa, you're probably living on in an oasis on dates, figs, and pomegranates.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Maybe some camel milk. Okay, I'm going to turn on this presentation again and carry on with it. So so there it was, the P-type. Light lunch, light dinner, big breakfast. And finally, this is only for the girls, the gonadal dominant. This is where the ovaries get the biggest kick. And these ladies typically are about one or two sizes bigger from waist down than they are from waist up.
Yeah.
And there she is. I'm giving you three examples. So the picture I showed you early on, that's one of them. And you can just see that she's not very big in her chest, but it sure is bigger from waist down.
Right.
And the one in the middle, that's one of the, I think her name is Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
She is a T type that's bordering on G type. And finally, I took a picture of Hillary Clinton. She's an aging G type female. You can see that her from waist down, she's much bigger than from waist up.
Right.
And this doesn't exist in men because they all have high testosterone and low estrogen, so it just doesn't happen. But here goes the G-type diet. The cravings are savory, spicy, and stimulating foods. So they will be into rich sauces, creamy dips, Thai food, Mexican food, things that are hot. So those are the ones that crank up the ovaries.
Okay.
So unfortunately, those are the foods that they'll have to give up on. They need to be eating low-fat dishes, not that much of red meat, lots of fruit, lots of salad, lots of fish, lots of poultry, lots of yogurt, not so much butter, more in the olive oil. Yes to herbs, but no to spices. So that's what would make Oprah Winfrey slimmer.
Right. It would be interesting to find out what she was eating when she did lose all that weight and what she ate when she gained it back.
Well, I remember she declared that she had the weakness for potato chips and for cheesies and that sort of things.
Savory and spicy.
Right. So she would crack a bag open and go for it. Anyway, so that's that.
So we would eat a light breakfast and lunch, and then we'd have a larger dinner if we were the G-type female.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, go light in the early time of the day, and you can indulge in the evening, but not on a spicy meal.
Right.
Because that's just simply going to make you eat too much, and it will just make you ever bigger.
Cool. So what are the steps?
Well, these are the basic steps, right? Like if you mm-hmm. really want to do the whole thing properly, understand your metabolic type, because that's the bigger picture. And then you start eating your biological identity diet. As part of the metabolic testing that we do, you actually learn your dominant glandular type.
Because that's a part of it, right?
Yes, it's part of the test. The answer is part of the identification. And so we'll be able to identify whether you need to, whether you have a conflict or don't have a conflict in the genetic design. Like I was illustrating on you and I, we both are thyroid dominant. We both are endocrine system dominant, but you're in the parasympathetic. I'm in the sympathetic. For me to be normal, I have to eat low fat, low protein, fairly high carb. That would just totally make you depressed and miserable.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if I ate what you need to eat, which would be the high protein, high fat, that would make me anxious, miserable, unfriendly, and hard to live with.
Well, I'm glad your wife knows that you know what to eat, so you're not like that.
That's right. Fortunately, I know it now myself, so I can. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, this is a bit of an issue for couples, right? I mean, if you're cooking a meal and it's a meal that's going to make you anxious but me happy, or vice versa, or it's going to put on, 3 inches around your waist and make me skinny. You need to be aware of this, because I think that's one of the problems that a lot of couples have. Like we hear about, we see it, right? You know, when they got married, there's their marriage picture, and 10 years later, that's like, wow, they're like, he's 50 pounds bigger and she's about the same, or he's slim still and she's 50 pounds bigger, or they're both 50 pounds bigger. So, they're,
yes.
It suggests to me that, the one of the people eating is, or not eating, is cooking, is making what they want for their body type, which isn't necessarily the best for the other body type, and it becomes a problem.
Exactly right. Yeah. If you understand what makes you well, then you need to put it together correctly. And it's quite comical because, for instance, in my family, my wife and I are opposite. So what makes me happy makes her mad, and what makes her mad or what makes her depressed makes me okay.
Right.
It's pretty comical. So we do share parts of our meals. Like, for instance, salad is good for everyone. Stir fry is good for everyone, especially vegetables and all that. And it's just that I need to have it with more carbs. She needs to have it with more proteins.
Good. Good point.
So anyway, so that's the metabolic type. And then for keeping healthy, you definitely need to identify your toxic load, because if you're quite toxic, your body will retain water and will store the fats, will store the toxins in fats.
Right.
So it's sometimes difficult to slim down.
So I've often heard, like, one of the reasons we have an obese society is we've got all these toxins and the fat is protecting it, which can be part of it, but it's not necessarily the whole thing, because you could, reduce all the toxins in your body and still remain fat because you're not eating the right foods for your body type.
That's right. So you need to take care of both sides of it.
Okay.
And then the third one is identify the deficiencies, supplement correctly for what's missing. And then, of course, there is the need for exercise. So, yes, make sure that you exercise enough to stay fit.
Right. Yeah, so there's no way that any part of what we discussed today was, just sit on the couch and you'll lose weight.
Correct. It's still very wise to do at least 15, 20 minutes of walking. 10,000 steps is a wonderful measure.
Do we do 10,000 steps in 20 minutes?
No.
No. I didn't think so. 10,000 steps in a week, a couple days?
No. You're supposed to do 10,000 in a day.
In a day, okay.
But if you put a pedometer on your body, it's you come usually close if you move around. I mean, if you're totally sedentary, then no.
Okay, so 10,000 steps, even though that seems like a high number to me, is not an excessive amount of walking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not. I use the rebounder, so I do 10, 12, 15 minutes on the rebounder. That I think is a wonderful idea.
Mm. Yeah, because that gets the lymphatic system moving too, right?
That's right, which of course supports all that detoxification and circulation and all the healthy things.
So most of the time people talk about eating and drinking, what you put in your body that way, the toxins that we get from breathing the air, drinking bad water or whatever. And then there's, of course, deficiencies like you mentioned. Well, I need more vitamin D or I need more selenium or something, salt, whatever it could be. And then, of course, there's always the movement. And nobody ever talks about the last thing.
Oh, the last thing, the vibrational health?
Yeah, like what is vibrational health?
It's all the subtle, invisible stuff. EMF, which is the electromagnetic frequencies. When you're sitting in front of a computer, ungrounded.
Talking on your cell phone.
Yes. Swimming in the Wi-Fi soup of vibrations.
Are you living underneath a cell tower?
Even, yes. So that's not helping. And then, of course, we're supposed to be in touch with the ground, with the dirt. Barefoot.
The earth, the planet. The earth. It's one with the planet.
It's called grounding. Well, the planet itself, the Earth, has a negative charge, and the air up above has positive charge. So, it's remember hearing about negative ions, positive ions?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, you get the negative ions from the Earth, from the ocean, from walking in the park, stepping on the grass, and you get the positive ions from in indoor spaces and from storms. And that's why you see these lightnings because they are the tool that the planet uses to rebalance the charge between the clouds up high and the earth down below.
Right.
Those are the discharges. And if ever you wore a synthetic fiber sweater and then you shuffled around on the carpet and then you took off that sweater, you probably saw a gigantic spark come off your nose.
Yes.
Well, that is the static charge that you're building up. That is not that good for you. That's why wearing natural fibers like cotton or wool is a lot better than acrylic and rayon or something like that.
Okay, cool.
Polyester.
So we've got this whole environmental, like, because you said it really well. We live in a soup of radio waves, TV waves, cell phone waves that, because just like light waves, we can't see them. And many times we can't even see the impact they have. There's two places that I go, which always reminds me of the importance of vibrational health. One is a hospital and the other is a plane. And I can never understand why when we're on a plane, they say, turn off your cell phones and all your electronic devices. When I'm 50 or 100 feet away from all the instruments that are at the front of the machine of the plane. And yet, and by being on a phone, they're trying to tell me that that can impact the sensitive instruments on a plane. And I'm going, well, you know, what about the sensitive instrument between my ears? Which is a lot closer, right?
Oh, yes.
And the other one is in the hospital when it's like I'm walking down the hall and it says, please turn off all of your electronic devices because it's going to have a negative impact on the sensitive equipment that's on the floor above or behind some walls or, you know, somewhere. And like I can't see them, right? They're out of sight. But there's somebody hooked up to it, and by me talking on my phone, you know, 50 feet or 100 feet away, it could cause that thing not to work and the person to die. It's 2 feet away from me, or it's right up against me in my pocket. What is that doing?
Indeed. Anyway, so I just put up another slide. Now let me put it up there on the screen, which has in it four quadrants, and it's two axes, urgency and importance. So in one corner, you can have non-important things, and on the other, the important ones, and in the other axis, the urgent things, and the other one, not so urgent. The point is that when you're in an emergency room, it's important and it's urgent, and you're no longer in a position to negotiate anything.
Yeah, it's a crisis.
It's a crisis. It's a doctor, help me. I don't care what you do. Just save my life.
Yep.
And that's not what you want to be. You want to be in the quadrant where you are preventing this sort of situation from coming around, from happening. And for that, it's important to do things that are not urgent, but they're important to do. Aye, aye. Preaching to the choir, aren't we?
Yeah. And I like the part about not important is pleasant.
Sure. Entertainment, fun, goofing around. It's definitely not important. So just a review here of what we tried to say. Refined foods like refined sugar, flour, salt, and oils, don't do it.
Regardless.
Yeah, artificial sweeteners, fats, artificial fats, artificial coloring, stabilizers, all of that. All the good things that you find in foods in the middle of the grocery store, stay out of there.
Stay out of there, yeah.
Stimulants, especially MSG, not so good. Cooked and pasteurized food is deficient in enzymes, so you definitely need to supplement with that.
Right. So in other words, this is a good reason for having your salads and eating raw foods, because that's where you're going to get the enzymes. And
correct.
No biological reaction occurs in our, or chemical reaction occurs in our body without enzymes. So we need that for vibrant health. And if everything you eat is cooked, you're not getting it.
Exactly right. And then finally, most industrial food that's grown in these fertilizer-induced conditions on soils that have been depleted with decades of this practice, they're deficient in minerals, and they're toxic because herbicides and pesticides have been used on them. So there, you need high-value foods. This is a plug for the organic industry.
Right.
Eat foods that have been grown the old-fashioned way. And then, finally, understand your metabolic type, which then means that you need to know whether your food should be more fats and proteins or more fruits for carbs. And some people need to avoid all grains, like it's just genetically nearly impossible for them to eat bread, pasta, something like that. Especially wheat. There are some issues with wheat that didn't exist 20 or 30 years ago and that are arising. There's something with the newest strains of wheat in the market. They're worse than anything.
Yeah. Gluten levels are through the roof.
That too. And I don't know, some other complications that I don't quite understand, but it's very clear that eating no wheat diet is very good for many people.
Right. And I think it's really important to say I just want to repeat what you said, is that whatever they're growing and they call it wheat today is very different than what we grew as wheat 100 years ago.
That's right. Yes, correct. So let's just review. This is us trying to find people a path to remarkable health. We're not selling you a product. We're selling you a process. So take the quiz, learn your type, implement the changes, do it gradually. If you try to do it overnight, you're probably going to just throw your arms up in the air and say, I'm not doing this. This is crazy. But one step at a time, it's very manageable and doable.
Yeah, because there's a lot of information and it takes a while for it to sink in.
That's right. And then we are here for you. We offer guidance with our email messages, with the articles on our websites, and with the coaching that we're offering. So you can lean on us with the research that we have sorted out and put together, with the quality products that we have selected, and with the coaching that we offer.
Perfect.
And you can reach us. We are reachable. If you're listening to it, you can call us at 1-866-543-3388. Or you can find us on the website, either life-enthusiast.com or Remarkable Health.
That's right. And we're going to be having regular hangouts. And if you go to remarkablehealth.com/hangout, you'll have the latest ones there, and we'll be putting links there to previous ones. We just did one on thyroid, which was really well received and full of great information, and ties in actually very well with today's show. So make sure you go there and watch it.
Yes. I should say this, you know, the thyroid type is the dominant type, and it's the least well served by the current health industry or the nutrition industry and all of that. These are the products that are suffering with diabetes, with weight issues, with PMS, with all manner of health problems. These people are the least well served by the mainstream advice.
Mm.
And so that
doesn't surprise me.
Yes. Anyway, so here we are. At the end of our, it has been almost an hour.
Just about, yep. So thank you for joining us, everybody. You've been listening and watching the Life Enthusiast Co-op Google Hangout and replayed on the Life Enthusiast Co-op's online radio network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. See you next time.
Thank you, Andrew.